All right, so today I want to bring a teaching. We're gathered here online with some brothers and sisters. I want to bring a teaching. I don't know, this one just came to me as we were doing some ministry and dealing with some people that used to be united to us. The title today that I have for you is Signs You Lack Being Born Again. Signs that you lack being born again. In the time I've been doing ministry and as a believer, which we started doing ministry pretty quick, out street witnessing and then teaching, going out and having fellowship with people, all of that, I've noticed, Sister Amon and I have noticed certain traits, and there could be 100 of them. I don't have 100, but I just have a bunch listed that I thought were the most compelling that come to my mind of people that after dealing with them for a short time, or could be a long time, could be up to a year or so or more, they end up not having the fruit of being born of God, even when they've claimed it all along, and they may even have made some really big gains in the flesh. You could see, like, good gains, but it turns out they fall away, and I want to make a statement here. We do not know who was born again or who was a good fake. We just look at fruit. And then we look at the balance of their life. Did they endure on? Did the seeds keep going? Or did they fall away into the weeds or the rocky ground? So I don't pretend to know who's born again, who falls away. But this teaching is just to give you some clues to look for. First, in your own life. This is a good test for all of us. But then when you're dealing with people that you're united to or might be thinking of being united to, whatever the case may be, these are some of the traits that we have to look at that are common and see if they apply to us, if they are their weaknesses that we got to get rid of. Or could it be when you look at someone, and I did a teaching on why versus what, you know, you could say, well, why were they like that? And then go, oh, this is what it was. They lack this, they lack this, they lack that. So this is really keying on what people lack. Okay. And again, there could be a whole bunch of these, but I picked out the ones that were most low-hanging fruit, they might say, you might say. And again, it doesn't mean, I want to make this clear, it doesn't mean if you have issues with some of these or I have issues with some of these, it doesn't mean we're not born again. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses, but these are a good indicator I have found of who people really are. And so the reason this is important, saints, brothers and sisters, is I can promise you, most of the people here in the Western world that you meet when you're doing ministry that say they're born again, they're false converts of churchianity. Yep, most all of them. 99.9% of the people you meet that claim Jesus end up having the fruit of being just false converts. They're pew sitters. They've never been born by the biblical gospel. Check out the biblical gospel at don'tperish.com. The path is narrow. Jesus said a puny few are going to make it. Most of them are following systems of men, comfortable Christianity, traditions of man. Well, true saints, have you ever thought of this? True saints follow the person of Jesus Christ, his word, his ways. They don't follow man-made religion. We're following a real person in Jesus Christ. He was fully man. He was fully God. He showed us who he was. That's who we follow. And most people are following the traditions of men and their own flesh and the culture. So let's get right to a bunch of these. These are the ones you can add to them. Make your own list up sometime. These are the ones that I thought were low-hanging fruit that I see most common. Ready? And these all start with something they lack. A lack of a consistent testimony of a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all quote this verse a lot. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I don't want to put a timeline on it. Everything is subjective and could be short or long term. I get it. But people that are born again and transformed by the gospel and the Spirit of God, they have a testimony. They know something happened. They can tell you what happened. They can tell you about when it happened. And as time goes on, we're not talking a week or two after they're born again. As time goes on, weeks, months, years, they have a strong testimony of what God has done in their life. They're a changed person. That's one really important key. We say that many times that people would say, I'm born again. And you say, well, how did that change your life? Well, I gave up drugs. And you go, okay, well, that's good. And then you find out that's about all they gave up. They're worldly, they're churchy-andy, they live in their flesh. So that's the first one that I would offer to you. Next one, lack of a viewable transformation from the outside, from the inside to the outside. Romans 12:2, I'm giving a lot of famous verses here. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So we teach that by faith in Christ, you come, you repent, you're born from above, and then holiness and obedience overtakes your life, and you endure to the end. That's the gospel in its shortest form preached to you right there. People that are born again, the transformation starts in the heart. Jesus said, cleanse the inside, then the outside takes care of itself. When your heart's changed, you want your outside to change. I'll give you one example. If you cuss like a sailor, and you come to the Lord, and you repent, and you're truly born again, you're convicted about your language. You start trying to change it. Just a fact. And the Holy Spirit will convict you. You'll start following the convictions and God's word that he gives you, and you will have a transformation. Again, we meet so many Christians that virtually look just like, act like, live like the world, but claim to be of Christ. It just isn't possible. How about this one? Some of these blend together, but how about this one? Lack of being a Berean. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The context here is Paul's preaching. They're going to the scriptures. They're testing everything Paul says, and they're holding fast to scripture. If you're born of God, the desire is the truth. We're going to talk about that lacking. And you go to the word, and guess what? You're going to be testing everything to the scriptures. The Spirit always takes you to the word. Brother Kuo did a teaching on godly conviction versus confusion of your flesh. Many people think they're being convicted they're not being convicted because they're following their flesh. They would read the word of God, the Holy Spirit would convict them. So lack of being a Berean, not testing and going everything to the word of God. How about this one? Lack of desire for righteousness. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So righteousness, that which is right before God. If you're born of God, you desire what's right to God. Even if you don't understand it all, you just desire it. These people that are false converts, many of them have no desire for righteousness. They love the things of the world. They feed their flesh. And that is good evidence that they are not transformed by the Holy Spirit. They have no hunger and thirst for righteousness. How about this one? Lack of obeying God versus man. This is a really big one. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is probably one of the most famous things we see people, us brethren and sisters, call it the hill people die on. Hey, we just had a young man not long ago. We met in when we were out street witnessing. I want to follow Jesus. You do? Yeah. Oh, I want to be a street preacher. I want to follow Jesus. You know what hill he died on? He can't leave his worldly, false religious family. They're too important to him. And so he's not willing to disobey dad and mom for the right reasons. Jesus said he came to separate. He'd separate fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and husbands and wives and children. People aren't willing to do that. People say, no, I can't leave those people. That's fruit that they truly are not regenerated. Jesus said, drop your nets, come and follow me. How about this one? Lack of a desire for truth. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, no matter how new you are, he gives you a desire for truth, and you start feeding that, and it becomes more and more and more and more. I've been following Christ for many, many years, and I can testify the desire and the yearning and longing for truth and righteousness does not get lighter. it gets stronger. The more you walk in his ways, the more you conform to Christ, the more you know who he is, the more you know his character and nature, the more you see how good he is and loving and merciful, the more truth and righteousness you want to seek. So that's kind of a sign, as well as this verse, Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, truth. And so that often is lacking in people, and it's an indicator they may not be born of God at all. How about this one? Lack of scriptural foundation. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. I'm amazed at the people that we hear claim Jesus, but they are so biblically illiterate and they don't even want the word of God. They won't listen to it. They won't test themselves to it. They won't stand and hear it. Lack of a scriptural foundation, good evidence you are not born of God, because the Holy Spirit is going to move you always to scripture. And again, a bunch of these blend together, but I'm just kind of pulling some out that we see commonly. How about this one? Lack of coming out of the world. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That word friend, it means fond of. It means if you like the things of the world a lot, you are an enemy of God. You're partaking in it. You're enjoying it. You're reveling it, whatever you want to talk about. Again, we see a lot of claimed Christians. Oh yeah, I'm of Jesus. And they're of the world. That's impossible, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You can't have two masters. Born again people are not going to be of the world. We'll keep going here. How about this one? Lack of zeal. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Again, we meet people all the time that say they've known Jesus for 40 years. We say to a man, what's your ministry? What? What's your ministry? Well, I go to church sometimes. They don't have a zeal, a drive in them to do the works of God. And that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is not working in them whatsoever. The Holy Spirit's going to give you zeal and a desire for the things of God. That leads me right to the next one. Lack of being Holy Spirit led. Yeah, if you're not born again, how are you going to have the Holy Spirit lead you? You're not. John 16:8. Yeah, I kind of mixing these two together. Let me mix these two together. Lack of being Spirit led and lack of conviction of the Spirit. So I'm putting these two notes together. John 16:8. And when he has come, he will reprove, convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So we have a lot of people that we meet that say, oh, I'm not convicted about that. It's clear in God's word, clear as day. I'm not convicted about it. That means the Holy Spirit's not moving in them. Holy Spirit does not leave you in sin. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's not going to leave you in sin. So that's another indication of what people lack. Usually it's their false converts is what we find out, because they go away, they never come back. Some of them could have been born again and just fall away. Can't speak dogmatically there, but I'm pretty confident most of the people we meet have never been born again because they never had any fruit of being born again. Usually people that fall away have fruit of being born again and they fall away from it. How about this one? Lack of testing all things. 1 Thess 5:21. Prove, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Again, the people that we're testing and knowing or seeing or hearing about or meeting, oftentimes they don't test anything. A brother just witnessed to a man and said, have you tested your church after decades? And the man said, no. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit, I can promise you. The Word of God says we are to test all things. How about this one? Lack of works or fruit. Jesus said this in John 15:5. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Not a little, much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, is he going to bring in you fruit? Christ is our vine, we're the branch. Good vines and branches produce much fruit. People are going to be cut off. That's what happens to a lot of these people, and they go away and they go into the darkness. But we all need to be testing our works and our fruit. Again, this could be a self-reflection test too, because we're supposed to test ourselves most of all. Judgment begins in the house of God, right? How about this one? Lack of thankfulness. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. If God's working in your life, and he's doing things, and he's sparing you from eternal fire, and he's putting you in a body of true believers, and he's growing you with gifts and spiritual ability and knowledge and discernment, you're going to be thankful. You're going to be thankful for the Christ at the stake, who died and shed his blood for you and rose again. Thankfulness overtakes your life. Not grumbling, not covetousness for more. Contentive thankfulness will overtake your life. Many people we see lack thankfulness. They're always looking for more, something more. How about this one? This kind of maybe goes with some of the other ones that I've been talking about. Lack of action to sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Yeah, sound doctrine saves us. Why? Christ is the truth, the Word is the truth, the Holy Spirit is the truth, and if you're in them, you will be in the truth. If you're not in them, you don't have the truth. The truth comes with them. It's a total package. People that are not born of God, they really don't care about sound doctrine. That's evidence that God is not working in them whatsoever, or they could be rebellious against it. But again, we see most of the time people that are born of a few doctrines, born of a few man-made traditions, and the rest of the stuff they could care less about. Dress, coming out of the world, holiness, all those things. No time for that. I'm too busy titillating my flesh in most cases. How about lack of light? John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So light, what do I mean by this? Well, if you have light, what do you want to do? Light shines the way. You want to help others into the truth. You want to live it. You want people to see it. You want to guide them to it. It's a desire of your life. A lot of people that claim Christ, most all people that claim Christ that we meet, they actually live in darkness, and the light is not being shined at all. Evidence that they are not born of God. How about this one? Lack of power. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The power to overcome sin and have victory. Let's just talk about that. This could be a whole teaching right here. People that we meet have been smoking for years, drinking for years, looking with lust for years, addicted to porn for years, all kinds of sin. And they say, oh, I can't overcome it. Are you born again? Oh, yeah. Impossible. The Holy Spirit is not going to leave you bound in a sin that you can't overcome. I ask them all the time, what sin can the Holy Spirit not help you overcome? Not one man's ever given me an answer, or one woman. Not one. Because every sin can be overcome. I know they throw blasphemy of the Holy Spirit at me. That's a different topic. But all the sins in our flesh and the things that we go through, we can overcome it all if we have the power that the Holy Spirit gives us. Look at the men in the New Testament. Some of them were weak men. The Holy Spirit came on them. They were bold and full of power. That's what we can have. If people lack that, it's evidence they're not born of God. How about this one? This one's really subjective. I get it. Lack of giving. Now, some people could be an atheist and they're really generous. I get that. But just in general, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So one of the traits I see in true saints, they care for each other. We'll talk about that. They give. They're giving. It's better to give than receive. They want to give. Doesn't mean money. Could be help. Could be encouragement. Could be a good word. Could be correction. You want to give. You're born of God. You want to give. Jesus showed us how to give. He was an expert at that. Example for us. True saints give. And people that are false converts, oftentimes, they're not giving. When I talk about giving, I'm talking about giving of godly things. Like I said, rebuke, correction, admonishment, scripture, fellowship, things like that. I just mentioned it. How about this one? This one's huge. Maybe one of the biggest ones. Lack of love for the brethren. John 13:35. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." In the street, we'll meet people all the time that want to pray with us, want to take pictures with us, want to do all these things and kind of claim like we're united. But when I say, hey, do you love us enough to email and talk scripture and make sure that we got the truth and we can unite? They're gone. They have no love. They have no love. They know we're van dwellers. Oftentimes people don't say, hey, is there anything we can do for you? I'm not looking for anybody to do anything for me. We take care of ourselves. But if I knew people that were street preachers and they were in van life, I'd say, is there any need we could fill for you? Is there anything we can do for you? Can we help you in any way? That shows love. And then, of course, scripture, caring, admonishment, encouragement. So lack of love, that is a big one that we see lacking in so many people. How about this one? Lack of gospel focus and desire to preach the gospel. That's another huge one. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That means people. Okay? If you've got the truth in you, you got the gospel that saved your life from hell, even if you're new and you go, I don't know how to do it, you have a desire to go, I should be telling somebody. I got to learn how to tell somebody. I got to get a gospel card to hand it out. I got to do something. I got to go with somebody that knows how to do it to teach me how to do it. There's a desire. I always tell people, if somebody handed you the cure for cancer and you had cancer and you got healed by that cure, no normal person's going to go, I'm just putting it in my drawer. I really don't care to help anybody. You'd go, I got to get this thing out there. This is incredible. You want to tell people the gospel and you want to have a desire for it. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How about this one? This one's a little bit of an odd, not odd, different one. Lack of hatred for false ways. Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Yeah, we should love what God loves, hate what God hates. God hates lying tongue, shedding of innocent blood, a proud look. Proverbs 6, those are an abomination to him. That should be true saints. We should hate the sin in us. We should hate the sin in our body. We should hate the sin in churchianity. We should hate the sin in the world. And we should purge it out of us and our body. We should call the Christians to repentance that claim to be Christians. And we should go tell the good news to the world and encourage them. They got to repent to come to Christ. But the Holy Spirit in you is going to give you a healthy hatred of false ways. I always tell people, if you don't hate lies, you don't love the truth. Let's just leave that one right there. How about this next one? These are all pretty big. Actually, I keep saying big. Lack of desire to kill your flesh. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, the lack of desire to kill your flesh, like in America here, pride and vanity is a big one. Oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I want to do everything for Jesus. After we go over the gospel and we go over sound doctrine with them, we tell people, you might want to think about covering your body up if you're claiming Jesus, because he teaches us that. Oh, I can't do that. I love to work out, and women love to show their hair and their makeup off, and I look terrible without my makeup on, and you hear all these excuses. They won't kill their flesh. It's a good sign that they're not born of God. They're not even in a battle to kill their flesh. Let's see. How about lack of peace? John 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That was one of Sister Amani's favorite verses when we were first born again. The Holy Spirit will give you peace. Doesn't mean you don't have trials. Doesn't mean you go through situations. Deep down inside, you will have the peace of God in you from the Holy Spirit if you're truly born of Him. How about this one? Lack of division. We get this a lot. Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I come not to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. We meet people that claim to be of Christ, and when we show them their sin in their body, religious body, or the sin of their religious family, they even sometimes will agree. They won't divide. They want unity at all cost, and they don't want truth and pleasing God at all costs. That's not the fruit that you're born of God. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword, not peace. He came to divide. How about, this goes along with peace. How about lack of joy and cheerfulness? 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. We have a sister named Kara. Kara means joy. It means inner calm and peace, inner calm, cheerfulness. The Holy Spirit, even if you're dying of cancer, even if the world hates you, even if you lost your job and you're trembling from all those tribulations, you can have joy deep inside you. Because you know everything in this world falls apart and you die, you're going to be with your master who made a way for you. That's ultimate eternal joy. You don't have that, you probably may be a false convert. I guess you could be living in sin and God takes that joy from you, but we're talking about false converts here today. How about this one? It's a popular one. Lack of endurance. Hebrews 6:15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Talking about Abraham there. The Holy Spirit is going to help you persevere. We see most everybody that claims Christ, they fall away into even the things they've left. Some of the world they've come out of, some false ways they've come out of, some bad associations. Most everybody falls back because they lack endurance. Probably fruit, they don't have the Holy Spirit at all. How about this one for all you street preachers out there? Lack of boldness. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I go back to the Peter. Peter was kind of a stumbling around guy with not a lot of strength before the Holy Spirit. Afterwards, the Pharisees are going, hey, aren't those fishermen down there talking about Jesus? They were bold men. Some of them went to their death, like Stephen, for the faith. If you don't have boldness, test yourself. A lot of times people we meet that don't have boldness, they have fruit that they've never been born of God, and they lack much. How about lack of holiness? 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Yeah, God's going to sanctify us and work through us. Philippians 1:6 says he's going to continue a work in us. And we're going to be holy if the Holy Spirit's working in us for weeks, months, years. If you're not living in holiness, that's evidence the Holy Spirit's not working in you at all. Something to consider and think about. How about this? This is my last one. Probably I see this in the street as much as all the rest of them. Lack of fear of God. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we preach to hundreds or a couple thousand people and ask them who fears God. Usually nobody does. And a lot of them claim to be Christians. If you don't fear God, I don't believe the Holy Spirit can be working in you, because it's the beginning of wisdom, and we are to fear God. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So that's a bunch of things that we see people lack. I suppose we could fall into some of those ourselves if we're not careful. We got to repent and get it right. Doesn't mean we're not born again, like I said. But when you see all of those, sometimes we see all of those in people. In fact, most times we see all of those in people that claim to be of Christ. That's good evidence they are not born of God at all. Speaking of lacking, I want to read to you something from Jesus. He said this to a rich man. Mark 10:21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I love this. He loved him and rebuked him, correct him, told him what he needed. One thing thou lack. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast. Give it to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy stake, your cross, and follow me. So I like that. Jesus told him what he lacked. That's why I'm doing this article, teaching, hoping to show people what they lack. I hope someone who claims to be a Christian can read through these. And I hope they go, well, I don't have that. I don't have that. I lack that. I lack that. I lack that. I lack that. Maybe it'll bring them to conviction and go, wow, my pastor said, raise your hand and say a prayer. Maybe I never was truly born again. And they can come to see what they need to do, repent and throw themselves at the mercy of God. And then the last scripture verses I have for you is what Peter tells us we can do so that we don't lack or fail and fall. I have a whole teaching on this on the teaching blog, but let me read this to you. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 8. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, that's the new life, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, I love these, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave it right there. I hope that this blessed you. Maybe it'll help you, yourself, as you're claiming to be a Christian. Maybe it'll help you with people in the body that are claiming to be Christians. Maybe it'll help you in your ministry. When you come against all these people, line 10 people up in America, 7 or 8 of them claim to be born of God, born of Jesus Christ, born of God. Maybe this will help you rightly divide who is and who isn't. Stick to the gospel. Tell them their need. Warn them, lest they truly are born again with fruits of the Spirit, they're going to lose their soul. Warn them against the culture and against man-made religion, and then leave them there. Let God and the Holy Spirit do his work. They can always reach out to us later. So hope that blessed everybody. Love you all. Thanks for listening. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area. And may, as always, may our Heavenly Father, our glorious God, be praised.